Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We are thrilled to have on the phone with us today Prescott School Superintendent Jim Reif, and we are going to chat it up with him about how the new school year is going, the 25-26 school year. What the heck? We are already into October. Can you believe it?
Goes fast. It definitely goes fast. We're into the real starting serious part of learning. Everybody's settled down. Everybody has their routines in order, and it's been a great start to the school year.
I love it. So you guys actually kicked off before Labor Day, right?
Yeah, we start with Return to Learn, kind of easing kids back into school. We get great numbers for our elementary K through 5 kids. Even the middle school, quite a few of the kids come. Frankly, I'd like to see a little bit more of our high school kids come in, but some of them, because it's optional days, and a lot of them still have jobs and things going on in the summer. So we don't quite get the number of high school kids, but we get 90% of the little kids into the building and give them a chance to really kind of have that smooth transition into the school year.
Well, I have to be really honest. You and I were both young at one point, and if you had a chance, if it was optional to return to learn, would you have done it? if you were in high school?
Like I said, with our high school kids, you know, and so many of them are involved in dance and plays.
Right.
Music and athletics and stuff like that. So they're around a little bit more at the high school, even all summer long. But, yeah, then a lot of them have jobs and have to work and, you know, family trips and stuff like that. So it is what it is. We're kind of hamstrung by the Wisconsin law that says we can't start before September 1st, but they're looking at changing that. That was the tourism board kind of push to not have it, and then the same tourism board is mad that we go into a week into June, but we got to get our days in somehow.
And how many days does Wisconsin ask kids to be in school learning?
It technically does it by hours, so it depends on the length of your day, but most school districts are about 180 plus or minus one or two.
So as you are looking ahead to bad weather, what does that look like for Prescott? Obviously, you will let us know at KDWA if, you know, it's a no school in person day, but what do quote unquote snow days look like?
Again, it's based on hours, so we could take two actual snow days, and like you said, I was young once too, so there are a couple days where we'll just let them have snow days, and then the other days, we'll call them distance learning days, for our middle and high school kids. That's a lot more online, Zoom type stuff with their teachers at the elementary levels, especially if we have time to prepare for it. It's a lot of reading. The most important thing we can teach our little ones to do is read. So we try to get them to read books by themselves or with their parents and, you know, some stuff like that that we can send home with them.
So absolutely.
Every teacher's prepped. And I actually have on my calendar for the middle of the month to do a test of our Infinite Campus calling system and make sure everybody, because somebody changes the number or something like that and they don't update it in their Infinite Campus. Yeah, in this day and age, it's hard not to find out, but every time there's that first day off of school or our first distance learning day, well, I'll get a couple phone calls. Why didn't I find out? Well, we called KWA. We called everybody. We sent it out by email. We texted everybody. Put it on Facebook. We're doing everything we can.
It's weird to think about, but gosh, you know, November can be very snowy. We've actually had big snowstorms in October, so I'm glad that you're thinking ahead about something like that. That's awesome. So let's talk about the kickoff of the school year. You mentioned that it was kind of a staggered start for people. Now we really are in the thick of it, aren't we?
Yeah, actually parent-teacher conference week for us. So Thursday is a professional development day, so no school for the kids on Thursday, and then everybody's off on Friday because, you know, we've been going full bore for 7 or 8 weeks now as a staff, and that 3-day weekend will be welcomed by everybody.
Oh, it certainly will be. Absolutely. Well, let's talk more about how many kiddos you do have in the Prescott school system. Enrollment obviously is down pretty much everywhere, but how about for Prescott?
Yeah, I don't have the numbers for Minnesota, but for Wisconsin, the average school size is down 6.1%, and that is nationwide. People are having less kids. We're down to 1,205 kids is our official number, and that's funky calculation that the DPI does that I would need to spend an hour and a half explaining to you, and probably get help from Madison, one of our administrative assistants at the elementary level, who did a great job calculating all those numbers for us.
And so that is something that is obviously affects So many things. How is that affecting the Prescott school system?
The biggest thing that happens in Wisconsin schools is our funding formula is tied to our number of enrollment. And frankly, that's been broken since 1995 when they locked it in on what you spent in 1994 and have just adjusted for students. So Prescott is in a tough situation in that we have declining enrollment and we have a beautiful, beautiful little city with high property values. So those are two big strikes against us with the state funding formula. Our numbers come in, get finalized on the 15th of October, but the last thing I saw was our state aid was going to get cut about $940,000.
And that's something I know that every superintendent I've talked to in Wisconsin has really seen as such a detriment to schools. Do you see that being fixed anytime soon, that formula?
I've been an administrator for 12 years. I've been in education. This is year 33, and they've been talking about it. It's been 30 years now. They've been talking about it since 2000, and it hasn't been fixed yet. The 325 that Governor Evers vetoed penned in for 400 years doesn't really help us. Last year's numbers, we would have needed $410 per student just to keep up with inflation. You know, utility costs go up, supply costs go up, you know, everything from Chromebooks to pens and pencils to, you know, tires on the buses cost more, and we're just not keeping up with inflation. Unfortunately, the only thing that the governor and the state legislature gives us as local superintendents to do is to pass that on to local taxpayers. I mean, we don't have any choice. We can either drastically cut over $1 million because we're about $1.3 million short of where we should be. Our choices are either to cut that, which would be about 10% of our budget, or we can pass it on to local taxpayers. And that really is tough for me because the state of Wisconsin has a $1.9 billion rainy day fund and an additional $4.1 million surplus sitting down in Madison that I would love to use some of that money to fund schools instead of having to go to the local taxpayers.
So how are you fixed right now for this current year with your finances?
We'll be all right for this year and next year, but if it doesn't get fixed in the next 2 years, and this is kind of what happens, is they let all the school districts go right to the edge and lean over the edge and teeter and get ready to fall, and then they usually bump up the money. But this last budget cycle that they signed at 2 o'clock in the morning, for the first time in 24 years, they didn't give any money extra to general aid for school districts. And that's a lot of where that, I think, I don't know, I wasn't in Madison, but I think that's a lot of where that $943,000 drop in state aid is coming from, is they didn't add money to the pool. And we got the $325 per student again, because we get it for 400 years, but the legislature said, nope, you got to take that all from your local taxpayers.
That's really a tough pill to swallow.
Yeah, and I'm going to try to do some videos and send some emails to our parents and try to get the message out. You know, I know the board's not happy about it either, but again, we really don't have any choice except for to, like I said, raise our mill rate and pass that on to the local taxpayers. And until the system gets fixed in Madison, that's what we're left with. So we're going to encourage people to call their legislatures and call the governor and say, hey, it's time to fix this. In the one area that they did bump up special education aid, they don't bump it up as, they say 45%, but they take 45% of last year's money, and then they share that over the whole state. And that's the biggest thing. So Madison, Racine, Appleton, Milwaukee all passed really, really large referendums, which means they get more money, and that means there's less money for the rest of us. And then that's where that property value comes in, with Prescott, Wisconsin is a beautiful little town, a great place to live, but that means high property values, which the state says that you guys get less aid. We're going to send more aid to some of the poorer districts with less property value.
You know, that's interesting. You're saying that because of the size and you do have some wonderful neighborhoods, that really is a detriment.
It's the combination of two things. So there's three levels of aid, primary, secondary, and tertiary. And last year, Prescott, for the first time, became negatively tertiarily aided. And basically what that means is they're starting to take money back from us. Again, it's a half-hour conversation that I'd be willing to sit down with anybody and have, but it's not really for a radio thing. But basically what that says is, here's your chunk of money. Oh, we're going to take some of it back and send it to some of the poorer districts in the state of Wisconsin. So You got to get that from your local taxpayers.
Good advice. Thank you. To really stay engaged in what goes on around you and advocate for not only for yourself, but for your community and your school district.
It's a challenge, but we are in a good place financially for the next couple of years. We're doing better than some of our neighbors.
So let's talk about positive things. Prescott and sports, come on, we love it.
Sports-wise, girls golf is doing great again. They were the conference champions again for the sixth straight year. They made it to sectionals this year after being state runners-up last year. Unfortunately, we didn't win sectionals, but we do have junior Layla Zalay. She's advanced to state as an individual, so she's going to be down in Madison playing by herself, which will be a challenge for her, but she's a great, great young lady and a great golfer, and I'm sure she'll do wonderful. Cross country is doing well. The conference meet is this week in Altoona, and then sectionals come after that again. Our girls are having a really, really good season and hope to advance to state again. Volleyball wraps up its regular season at Somerset and Altoona on Thursday, and then the seeding meeting for the playoffs happens on Wednesday night. They sit down. Well, they don't get together anymore. They do it all over Zoom, but get together and they seed all the players, and the playoffs start next Tuesday. Football team's doing well, but we get Baldwin-Woodville, which is Baldwin-Woodville, if you know the area, is doing really well. They're 8-0. We're doing Tackle for Cancer and Senior Night. That'll be at home Friday night. Right here in Prescott. We should qualify for the playoffs, but there's a new format and a new formula, the Matrix, they call it. That'll be figured out on Saturday.
What does that entail?
So it's a very complicated system. Right now we're 3-3, and so we're right on the cusp, and the Matrix looks at who you played for your non-conference game, strength of your opponent, and they literally put it into a big Excel spreadsheet and it spits out the rankings. We should make it, but there's no guarantee. If we win Friday night, if we knock off the 8-0 Baldwin-Woodville, then we're definitely in. So it's still up in the air. So Friday night, it would be great to have everybody out to support our team. To get into the arts a little bit, our one-act play that went down to Nationals last summer and is performing Lost Girl, and that's actually judged competitions, and that starts up soon here in a couple weeks. And then the middle school musical, Shrek Jr., will be performed November 14th to the 16th. One of the things that drew me to Prescott was we talked about the three A's. Obviously, we're top in the conference, top 10% in the state in academics, and that's the most important, but we have such a beautiful, wonderful, strong arts program. And we do have great athletics, so our kids are involved in the classroom, on the stage, and then on the court in the field, and doing everything we can to raise well-rounded kids. And we're a great school, and we hope that triple threat of being in the top 10%, you know, gets more people to move to Prescott, gets, frankly, some kids to open and enroll to Prescott and come here and be part of our program.
So let's talk about some of the other things. I know you mentioned before we went on the air that you're still trying to fill just a couple of positions. Anything that we could help you give a shout-out about?
We always need subs. Everybody needs subs, but we really, you know, could use some bus drivers. Bus driving is a great way to greet kids and be involved in kids, and Heather and Rick do a great job running our bus fleet. But if you looked, I don't know Minnesota again, but if you look across Wisconsin, I'm guessing the average age of a bus driver is probably somewhere 65 to 68 years old. It's a lot of retired folks doing the driving for us. And so, yeah, we're definitely looking for bus drivers. You can call Heather at the bus garage or just give Courtney or me a call in the district office. We train our own bus drivers. And we'll take you from driving your SUV to driving a bus within, you know, 3 or 4 weeks and have you on the road. And that's all paid for by us. And we'll take care of anybody that way. They're all automatic buses now. It's not the old days when we were there and it was a stick shift or anything else like that. It's like driving a big rider van, except for you have much, much, much more precious cargo in the back.
I agree.
We're a pretty small school district, so we don't have any really long routes or anything else like that.
And then let's talk about, I know that you are participating in a study to look at some right sizing.
Yeah, with that declining enrollment and with the referendum we passed to look at some of our buildings, we're trying to figure out, and also looking, frankly, at that financial shortfall we're going to come up with here in a year and a half or 2 years, would it make sense for us to close one of the schools? It would most likely be our intermediate school. Right now we have Malone, that is K-3, and then Prescott Intermediate, that's 4-5, and then the middle school 6-8, and then the high school. We do have some space in each one of those. We're in the middle of that study, whether we'd split those kids and move some to the middle, some to the elementary school. Would we move them both up to the middle school? Would we bump 8th grade up to the high school? We're just in the preliminary stages of that. The administration team and I are really crunching the numbers right now. We got to see, one, what's most important academically for our kids, but two, there's that financial component. How much would we save if we did close that school? Maintenance, utility costs, et cetera. Teachers and stuff like that would likely keep everybody to keep their jobs. Menominee just closed Downsville, a little school down there, and they did it a year earlier than they were going to because all the teachers really were putting in for transfers because they knew the school was going to close in a couple of years, and they closed it a year early because of retirements and other buildings. They were able just to transfer everybody from food service to custodians, teachers to aides to different buildings. And that would be our goal, not to lose any employees, but just to transfer them and maybe not fill some spots that we lose through retirement. But that, again, would save us money on salaries. And every school in the country, 75 to 80% of your cost each year is salaries. And we can't stop buying electricity, and we can't stop paying our people if we're going to keep a high-quality education. So the only way to save on salaries is to cut your staff size through retirement.
Good info. Mm-hmm. What is the best part of your job so far?
I've been doing really good getting into all the buildings, whether it was bring your parents a lunch day at the elementary level and seeing the parents and the kids then, just walking classroom to classroom, getting to meet the kids. My office is in the basement of the middle school, so I get to talk to those kids every single day. But probably the best part of my day is watching our teachers learn and our paraprofessionals learn. We have a great administrative team. Every Monday, we get done at 90 minutes early so our staff can learn together and grow together. I was able to stop by the high school and watch Mr. Figgy and Mr. Montreal help guide all of our teachers to learn about how to engage students, how to keep students active and thinking in the classroom. We continue to do a lot of work with building thinking classrooms. That goes K-12. Our elementary group, led by our principal Sarah Dusick, is doing a great job diving in hard into Act 20, which is the Wisconsin Reading Program, to really bring up those reading numbers. Michael Kalsmowski, who's our intermediate school principal, is also our director of teaching and learning. So he does that. He does double duty. He's intermediate school principal and our teaching and learning director. So he does a lot of work with lining this up for everybody. And then Kyle Igo at the middle school level has built a great team, and he's in the classroom in our PLC meetings with our teachers every week, learning alongside of them and helping our kids grow. And it's a little different for me. It's been a challenge because this is the first year I'm not also a high school principal. So I used to run those meetings, and now I just get to watch and participate with them and learn alongside of them. And we have an incredibly dedicated staff that cares so much about taking care of every one of our students every day.
We love the Prescott School System, and we're so grateful for your time, Prescott School Superintendent Jim Reif. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7, KDWA in Hastings.